With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey folks, just popping in here to say if you like this episode of the podcast, please give it a like rating. And if you haven't already done so, please consider subscribing. We can be found on YouTube, BitChute, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Links are all in the description wherever you're tuning in from. And now, on with the show. Are back one more week for you, myself, your Canadian Info Warrior, Destry McLean, and the Savage One, Mr. Sterling Ross.
Ooh, yeah!
I got my French vanilla coffee again.
Nice.
So, we're here again. Yeah. We'll fill everybody in here on a little bit of what happened. We've already recorded this episode, and when I went into editing, I discovered that for some stupid reason, OBS Studio hadn't been recording Sterling's audio all along. So, that entire episode was absolutely useless, but now I'm looking at the meters and I'm watching it, and Sterling's being recorded, so we should be good this time.
Hallelujah.
That's what you call technical difficulties.
Yeah, what do the millennials say, boomer tech?
Yeah.
Well, the Gen Zers.
Yeah. Fuck off, Karen. Oh, no, okay, that was supposed to be okay, Karen. Sorry.
Okay, boomer. whatever. It is what it is. We're back.
Yeah, we're back. And you know, just before we started recording, I was telling Sterling that I launched Slashdot on my other monitor here, and just looking for any headlines that might grab my interest in the tech world, and I just spotted one. Apple okay. has just surpassed the Saudi Arabian oil company Saudi Aramco to become the world's most valuable company, giving it a market valuation at $1.84
trillion. My God.
Yeah.
When a tech company is worth more than the richest oil company.
Yeah, exactly. Apple shares closed up to 10.47% Friday, giving it a market valuation of $1.84 trillion.
Jeez.
And Saudi Aramco, which had been the most valuable publicly listed company since its market debut last year, now trails at $1.76
trillion. Unreal.
Yeah.
Dude.
Apple's strong fiscal third quarter earnings released Thursday boosted its stock as investors rallied behind the company's 11% year-over-year growth. Apple also announced a 4-for-1 stock split. Whoa. Company has recovered from its pandemic low point in March. Shares are up more than 44% this year. Wow.
It's booming.
Apple's doing well, man.
Yep.
It just goes to show all the naysayers that were talking about how poorly Tim Cook was going to replace Steve Jobs. Guess what? Tim's holding the reins pretty damn well.
he
and
he may
still
not
got those good people under him, so.
I think Steve Jobs was more of the technology guy, but Tim Cook was a marketing guy, and it shows in the...
Steve was marketing, but Steve didn't have a formal education in marketing. It was just what he knew was going to work. Steve Wozniak was the tech guy. Jobs was an engineer, but he wasn't as good an engineer as Woz. Jobs was more the marketing. Of those two, Jobs was more the marketing half of it. What was that, your phone?
That was my phone.
Yeah.
Some knucklehead who I already told I was doing my podcast still decided to phone in the middle of it. So.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, just no sense whatsoever, but that's okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, you go ahead with whatever you got there. I'm going to keep browsing some of these headlines, see if I find anything else interesting.
Well, along the lines of tech, if you will, but more to do with a particular app. I guess we've spoken before about how the country of India has banned over 50 Chinese-produced apps, and now Trump is looking to follow suit with the United States. He wants to, they're saying by the end of next week, they see the end of TikTok in the United States.
Should
and, be. So it makes me wonder how long before Trudeau follows suit. He's always late to the party, and he seems to love those commies over in China. So Canada might be a little slow to react, but even the United Kingdom, I believe, is they've banned Huawei and and I had to laugh as this story was coming through about the states looking to ban TikTok. This comedian that I love his podcast, by the way. The guy's name's Tim Dillon. He's like, imagine a gay Chris Farley. He's this big 300-pound. Gay comedian character. He's funny as all heck. Came out of the New York comedy scene, got too big for New York. Now he's buddies with Rogan and the Death Squad guys. And in recent months, he's been hitting it big with the Tim Dillon show. I highly recommend checking out his channel. He's very frenetic. It's almost like his mom's schizophrenic. He talks about it a lot in his act, and you can see it kind of rub off on him because he'll go off on the one, and he'll have you in stitches because he'll just say the most incredible stuff, and he's big on conspiracies. So he'll just ramble about whatever, but he does it in that animated Chris Farley, you know, the everything's flying, the hair and the facial expressions and... So anyway, long story short, Tim Dillon, never one to shy away from an opportunity, sees the tweet about Trump looking to ban TikTok. So Tim Dillon's response on Twitter was, Trump is reportedly banning TikTok. So if you want to watch 16-year-old girls dance, you better get on a plane with Bill Clinton. Thought you might like that.
Oh, that was good, yeah.
His Twitter is fire. You got to check out Tim Dillon on Twitter. He is, he loves the controversy. And he loves stirring the pot. So,
oh, this is interesting. Yeah. Speaking of TikTok, I just spotted something else here. Totally related to what you're talking about. Microsoft is in talks to acquire TikTok.
Ooh.
New York Times reported this on Friday, citing a person with knowledge of the discussions. As President Trump said on Friday that he was considering taking steps that would effectively ban the app from the United States.
There you go.
There's a report here. It says it's unclear how advanced the talks between Microsoft and TikTok are, but any deal could help after TikTok's help alter TikTok's ownership, said the person with knowledge of the talks, who spoke on the condition of anonymity. TikTok is owned by ByteDance, a Chinese internet company that is valued at $100
billion. Yeah. And I guess they're looking at it like, rather than be banned outright, at least cash out, strike up strike up a deal with Microsoft.
Well, at least if Microsoft buys it, you know that it's not going to be spying for the Chinese, because Microsoft has to maintain transparency with the U.S. government.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that I trust Microsoft. I'm saying that Microsoft has to maintain its transparency with the government. So.
Yeah, and it'd be a rush to judgment to call it 3D chess by Trump either, but you know, it could pay off for the states if that transaction goes through.
Yeah,
because I know there's millions of TikTok users in the states, and that's something too. Like some of these Chinese companies,
it's a popular platform among the younger generation, just like Instagram was when it came out, and Instagram still is.
And Snapchat and those kinds of things. So yeah, that's one way to keep it alive, I guess, and get around the whole issue of foreign spying and whatnot.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how things progress with that.
So Facebook says Apple's iOS 14 changes could hurt its ad targeting. Facebook Chief Financial Officer David Wehner said on Thursday that upcoming changes to Apple's iOS 14 operating system could hurt the social network abilities to target ads to users. With the update to its mobile devices, Apple will ask users if they want to let app developers track their activity across other apps and websites. That's a good thing. Apple has not said when iOS 14 will launch, but it's expected to roll out this year. Of course it is. We're still trying to understand what these changes will look like and how they will impact us and the rest of the industry, but at the very least, it's going to make it harder for app developers and others to grow using ads on Facebook and elsewhere. Well, you know, he's saying that as if Apple's making things harder for developers, but the problem is developers are making things more annoying for the end user. So Apple is trying to better the customer experience. It says, until now, advertisers could use a device ID number called the IDFA to better target ads and estimate their effectiveness. In iOS 14, each app that wants to use these identifiers will ask users to opt into tracking when the app is first launched. The change is expected to start impacting Facebook's advertising in the third quarter, but it will have a more pronounced effect in the fourth quarter. So that's interesting. Apple is, that's that's par for the course with Apple. It always has been under Steve, and it still is under Tim, is making sure that users know everything that their phone is doing. Making sure that a user has to accept those terms and conditions and has to be aware of anything out of the ordinary that an app might be doing. Steve was always very big on that, making sure that people have to confirm that, you know? Yeah. And apparently Tim still is, so that's good. God, I can't get rid of that.
Oh, your audio cut out.
There we go. Get that frog out of my throat.
There you are. All right. Well, I'll give you a couple seconds to recuperate there.
Yeah.
Talk about what's going on in the crazy Western states there. So the riots and protests continue, and rioters in Portland apparently. Apparently, they've taken it to yet another level. They burned down the city courthouse and then had a Bible burning. And, you know, recently, of course, the mayor of Portland, he had participated in the protests with these so-called peaceful protesters, you know, kind of virtue signaling and trying to show what a great, compassionate guy he is. But the protesters saw right through him and what a phony piece of garbage he is.
Yeah.
And not only did he get maced or pepper sprayed by the riot squad, the police, but his fellow protesters were going at him left and right, spitting on him, yelling at him, and throwing stuff at him. So I think he had like a come to Jesus moment there and realized he's in over his head. And I guess now there's not going to be an issue of the feds coming into Portland to shut things down, because now they burned down the courthouse. And supposedly the idea behind burning down the courthouse, there's a lot of illegal alien cases, a bunch of files that were stored at the courthouse. And, you know, they've got these leftists have this, you know, no borders, no walls, no. Yeah. So they're thinking if they could burn all the evidence, all these cases against these illegal aliens that were recently captured in the region,
then the cases go away.
And then, of course, just to trigger all the Bible thumpers, I'm no Bible thumper, but, you know, people would freak out if you burn the Quran. So, of course, burning Bibles is going to trigger the Bible Belt. So, once again, they're playing their little games. And then this got on me there. I couldn't believe, like, Antifa's latest move is these traffic blocks where they get in front of vehicles, they surround the vehicle, they're pounding on the vehicle, intimidating whoever's inside, getting them to either freak out and drive away out of terror and self-preservation, and then claiming, oh, they tried to run us over.
Yeah.
That's one of their scams. Another thing they like to do is try and pull these drivers out of the vehicle and scare the shit out of them and make them go to their knee for them. You know, take a knee and say they support Black Lives Matters or whatever, you know, screw Donald Trump, whatever they want to basically make the people jump through hoops. It's a humiliation thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's starting to backfire because I don't know if you heard, but recently this U.S. Army Sergeant Dan Perry, he was working his due to the pandemic, he was hurting for money, and so he took a job as a Uber Eats driver, and so when he's not on base at Fort Hood, he was working for Uber Eats. And he got caught in one of these neighborhoods that was blocking traffic, and he's armed. Yeah. And this video went viral. So the Antifa victim, we'll call him, named Garrett Foster, his buddy's filming him on his phone, and he's trying to look all tough. He's got the face mask. He's in camouflage. He's carrying an AR-10 or AR-15, and he's talking about, you know, gonna get these capitalists and show them and blah 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 and fight the power and all this commie stuff. So after he's done, you know, doing his little spiel, not 5 minutes later, his buddy's filming him as a bunch of people, including Garrett Foster, surround Dan Perry's vehicle, and Dan Perry had nowhere to go. He's surrounded, and you see in this video Garrett Foster yanks open the door. He's got slung over his shoulder, the AR-15, starts to point it at a trained military man, Dan Perry. And Sergeant Dan Perry did not want to take any chance that he was going to be shot with a rifle being pointed squarely at his face.
Especially not by somebody who's jacked up on adrenaline.
Or meth.
Yeah. You know,
these idiots are meth heads. So he just did what his training told him to do, self-preservation, self-defense, pulled out a firearm, pistol, one shot, bye-bye Garrett Foster.
Good.
He's, you know, and that's the end of him. And it was funny because at first, you know, the leftists and Antifa, they were trying to be like, oh, shot in cold blood, murder. But his own buddy releases the footage showing how they terrorized Mr. Perry, and now the police are investigating.
Because I'll tell you, if I lived in an open carry state or even concealed carry state myself, and I was armed, you point something at me, I'm going to shoot first.
And you got a bunch of hysterical people banging on your vehicle and yelling.
Exactly.
Yelling at you from all different directions.
You point a firearm at me, I'm not going to assume that you're not going to use it. I'm going to fire.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like, how many times have we seen people get yanked out of their vehicles during these rallies and get the shit kicked out of them?
Yep.
Now he's getting a gun pointed at his face.
Yeah.
What do you, you know, so the police are investigating, and it looks like they're trying to, there was no immediate charges filed because they're trying to determine if it was a case of justifiable homicide, in other words, self-defense.
Yeah.
And it's looking like it's going to go that way, much to Antifa's dismay, but trained military guy, he was basically cornered, given no option.
Yep.
Weapon pointed at his face. He reacted and did what he felt was necessary. So, yep. Bye-bye.
and really, whether he was military trained or not, that's pretty much what anybody who carries would feel is necessary. You know?
Yeah. And like, I'm so sick of this Antifa stuff. Like, it just, I've got so many of these jotted down just from the last 24 hours because it's ridiculous, their tactics. Like, they are.
It is. And nobody's curtailing them.
And they're literally asking to be killed at this point. Like, so even in England, like here, there's a case, there's a viral video out, naked man, this Antifa goof. There's an Antifa rally in this town in England, and this man thought it would be clever to get naked and block traffic along, and you know, this poor guy, he's with his wife and kids, and the kids see this naked man standing in front of their vehicle as part of the Antifa blockade. So the driver gets out and tells him to get the fuck away. He's got kids in the car, and he doesn't need his kids seeing some crazy naked man standing in front of them. And when Buddy refused, he did what I think a lot of people would do. He decked the naked man. He had, he had enough of this bullshit. And the video shows just one good crack, lights out. Guy topples over. So haven't heard yet if that guy got, if anyone got arrested out of that deal. But, you know, I think at this point, you pretty much have to go full vigilante mode because, you know, the police aren't doing anything to protect you. And, you know, what are you going to do if you're there with your wife and kids? You got some, it's bad enough what happened in, you know, with the Dan Perry, Garrett Foster situation. But then how creepy and perverted, you know, your wife and kids got to see some naked dude standing in front of your vehicle.
Yeah.
And you got nowhere to go because you're surrounded by these dummies. So, you know, again, justice served as far as I'm concerned.
In other tech news, a 17-year-old from Florida was just arrested for this month's huge Twitter hack.
Ooh.
Yeah. Graham Ivan Clark, a 17-year-old teen from Hillsborough County, Florida. According to Florida News, Clark was arrested earlier Friday morning following a nationwide collaboration between the FBI, the IRS, and the DOJ and the Secret Service. Hillsborough State Attorney Andrew Warren filed charges against Clark for being the mastermind behind the July 15th Twitter incident, when the teen is believed to have gained access to Twitter's back end, took over several high-profile accounts, and tweeted on their behalf to promote a cryptocurrency scam. And they're obviously they've obviously charged and planning to try him as an adult because they released his name.
Mm.
So even though he's only 17, they released his name. That means they're going to try him as an adult.
It's so funny. How often do we hear about, and these hackers, they're always like between the age of like 15 and 18, young kids usually, just great with computers, and they don't realize the severity, I think, of what they're doing. They're thinking they're getting over on the man, pulling a little prank.
And they don't realize. And the thing is, there's no realism to it on their end. It's like that movie that what was it, that one that Matthew Broderick, I think it was Matthew Broderick, was in the 80s.
War Games.
Yeah. It's like that, you know, it's almost like a game because there's no personal interaction.
Yeah.
So like he kind of knows what he's doing on one level, but on another level, it's like there's no realism to it, you know?
They don't realize, like, they think they're going to get a slap on the wrist, and here you got, like, the FBI involved. And,
yeah.
You know, like, NSA, maybe. Like, it's like, that reminds me what you just mentioned there. That reminds me back in, what was it, the early, late 90s, early 2000s, that there was that famous hacker. He went by the handle Weave, yeah. W-E-E-V, and he caused a big uproar and a lot of shit there, And there was a documentary just released about him, and I was watching that the other day, and it was so funny because he was this little tiny, you know, like he was like a 5 foot bugger all Jewish kid, teenager, and you know, and into his early 20s, kind of rose into prominence as like an internet troll and hacker, and he just his whole thing was he loved exposing all the you know, all the weak links and the chinks in the armor of the security systems of the various tech companies. And, you know, and he was a guy that was like a thorn in the side of like the Apples and,
yeah.
you know, AT&T trolled AT&T pretty hard.
Yep.
And, yeah, and it was, but he paid the price. Ultimately, he wound up going to prison. He thought he was going to skate off into the sunset there. And he thought he was going to get some kind of big, you know, because a lot of these companies usually end up hiring hackers later to do their security for them. So he was kind of thinking he was going to get a big payday at the end.
Yeah.
And instead he got a prison sentence.
Yeah.
I think he wound up doing a couple of years in prison, got out on good behavior. And now, I guess before the pandemic, he was some sort of Wall Street guy. So he was dipping his toe into the markets, and wouldn't surprise me if he was using his hacking ability to get some inside information. And but yeah, like freaking not a surprise. Hacker was what, 17?
Yeah.
Fuck. Never sees. But you know, one of these days you're gonna get like one of these punk kids. It's gonna hack into like. You know, Russia or America's, you know, nuclear, you know, and this is the thing that War Games movie kind of warned of was,
yeah.
You know, now you managed to unleash the nukes there because you thought you were being clever and playing a game, and now you fucked us, so way to go.
Well, actually, I think the message of War Games was more of a warning about having everything controlled by computers, which can then be accessed by hackers.
Yeah, true that. So I was looking at the Canadian, we covered this before about the Canadian national debt, and you know, it talked about how the Trudeau government was projecting a you know $330 billion deficit just for 2020's budget.
Yeah.
And I was saying how that when you add that with our overall current debt, that would put us in the $1 trillion club with the states. Of course, the states is like $30 trillion at this point, but we would.
Justin just wants to be in any club that the states is in. Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, even if it's in the negative. So I went on the Canadian Taxpayer Federation website. They've got a debt clock. It's constantly running, so you can see the debt accumulating before your eyes. And it's even worse than imagined. So if it's true that that their estimate for this year's budget's $330 billion, well, our current debt is actually $800 billion. Hmm. So if you add $330 to $800, that gives you $1.3 trillion. And that $330, that was just an estimate. They haven't worked out the budget. This could end up being a $1.5 trillion deficit overall on a little tiny country of Canada. Can you imagine?
Well, we're not exactly tiny. Our population is.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to. Yeah, we're, you know, land obviously the biggest, but as far as population, you know, 35 million, give or take a few million illegal immigrants. But,
that's quite the debt for a country whose population is that size.
I'm just a little concerned. I don't know. You know, maybe it's just me, but I'm thinking we're kind of in Foxville.
If the government is smart, they could use cannabis income to pay for a lot of that. But the government's not smart. We know that's not going to happen. They're going to use cannabis in income to pad pockets and do other things.
Yeah, good times ahead, eh? Mm-hmm. Let's get to something a little lighter here. I did a few top 10 lists. Well, not did them. I looked these up. These were lists done by other sources. I thought it'd be fun just to do some top 10 lists about songs, movies, what have you. So first one is a top 10 list. This was done by the Gazette Review. The top 10 all-time songs list. So, we have at number 10, it's a song done by the group The Beatles. Can you guess which song?
No. They had so many hits.
Exactly. The song is Hey Jude.
Oh, it is Hey Jude. Okay. Wow.
Hey Jude at number 10. This one you'll probably get. Number 9, a song by the group The Eagles.
Take It Easy.
It's one of their hits, but what would be their most iconic? You hear it on the radio about every 5 minutes.
Hotel California.
Exactly. Yeah. Hotel California.
Having a brain fart there.
That's okay. Hotel California coming in at number 9. This one surprised me and it pleased me because I'm a fan of these guys. The group is Pink Floyd coming in at number 8. And can you guess the song?
The Wall. Or at least one part of The Wall anyway. Probably part 2.
I would give that an honorable mention, but no, it's Comfortably Numb.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, Comfortably Numb comes in at number 8. Okay, number 7.
That used to be my theme song when I was partaking in a certain flake.
Yeah, we were all comfortably numb back in our youth.
Yeah, the end of the 80s, the early 90s. Yeah.
Coming in at number 7, this guy...
There was still a lot of George Young stuff on the market at that time.
Yeah. Coming in at number 7, he was a member of the Beatles, quite successful on his own. The man is John Lennon, and the song is...
Imagine.
There you go, sir. Imagine, yes.
That's actually the only real big hit John ever had on solo.
Yeah, truly. He had some minor.
He had some good songs, but that's the only real big hit he had solo.
And you think of the commercial success, like you see how many commercials have used that song or shows. And
yeah.
So coming in at number 6, these guys kind of were the pioneers, the early forerunners of the 90s grunge scene, the band... is Nirvana, and the song at number 6 is
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana.
I was already able to guess the band before you said it. I mean, grunge, yeah. Who else?
It is grunge, yeah, because all there is like them and Pearl Jam, and
yeah, you know. They were the front runners of the grunge scene, though.
Yeah, coming in now, we're getting into the top 5 here. Coming in at number 5. The band is Metallica, but this is one of their early smashes. Not the ones people think of on the radio. This is one of their early smashes, and it had a very dark but iconic video.
Oh, that would either be one or For Whom the Bell Tolls. One, yeah.
Coming in at number five, the song is One by Metallica. Very dark song.
Oh, very dark. Yeah, that one was... It had the whole video of the guy being crippled from the war and multiple amputee and everything.
Yeah, disfigured, the face mask and everything. Yeah. All right, now we get into number four. This guy was iconic during the folksy hippie 60s. The artist is Bob Dylan, and the song is...
Everybody Must Get Stoned, Rainy Day Women.
There's a few of his songs that could be on the list, but the one they chose was Like a Rolling Stone.
Oh, okay.
All right, number three.
Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
Now, this one I'm going to throw you off because I don't think anyone...
That was a McLean impression of Bob Dylan, by the way. For anybody old enough to remember McLean and McLean.
Yeah, yeah. Canadian
comedy duo.
Yeah. Coming in at number three, this song, well, both the song and the artist, it'll throw you for a loop because you wouldn't think of this making an all-time top 10 list as far as this category goes, but I don't know if I should give you the song and then guess the artist or vice versa. All right, I'll just...
The Buggles, the artist. Video Killed the Radio Star.
Well, that was a good guess, but this is even further out.
Because that's an obscure one that a lot of people don't know the band name, so...
Yeah, they were the ones that created, basically, they were the first video on MTV.
And the first video on Canada's, Much Music, yeah. Which aired a year later to the day from MTV. Yep.
And both those networks went for a shit when they stopped playing music videos and started doing stupid reality shows and, you know, pregnant teens and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Number three, the artist is Bing Crosby.
Oh, Bing Crosby.
We're going way back.
Let me think here. Bing Crosby. Maybe White Christmas?
There you go, sir.
Yeah.
Number three, White Christmas.
One of his most well-known. That's why I thought of it. Yeah. But, you know, being a seasonal thing, I wasn't sure if that would be it or not.
Yeah, he was famous. He was a famous crooner of the day back in, 40s, 50s?
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
60s, yeah, but he was famous. He was most famous, outside of his crooning. He was famous for beating his kids and being, and then he had that strange duet he did with David Bowie in the 70s.
Yeah.
You remember there was like some weird duet the two of them.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but I remember I've seen the video actually. I just can't remember what the song was.
It was this oddball pairing, and it was right when David was in his Ziggy Stardust kind of phase. So it was, you know, I guess they're kind
of showed up in the video. He showed up at Bing's house in a normal suit, which was really odd for David Bowie at that time.
Probably worried old Bing would, you know, haul off and hit him if he dressed like a hippie. What's this fairy hippie doing?
It's like Ed Sullivan, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, what you play, you got to wear a suit to be on my show, damn it.
Yeah. All right, we're down to the top two, and these are very iconic, very iconic.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Elvis Presley is one of them. Wow. Well, then whoever made the list doesn't know what they're talking about.
Well, I would have put Elvis ahead of Bing Crosby, I'll tell you what. But I'll give you a hint. Give you a hint for number two. The band's name is Led Zeppelin.
Oh, okay. So let's see. Led Zeppelin. I mean, geez. I don't know. That's got to be... Go Your Own Way. No, that's Fleetwood Mac. I was wondering if you'd get that or not. Stairway to Heaven, obviously.
I could smell the troll.
Yeah, Stairway to Heaven.
Yes, sir. Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin coming in at number two. I mean, that song's on the radio more often than, you know.
In Hotel California.
Yeah. You are definitely going to love number one because I know you're a fan of this group. And it was one of the strangest and yet most iconic. It's been used in a number of movies. It's a classic. It has the band's name is Queen.
Oh, of course. Well, then that would have to be Bohemian Rhapsody.
Coming in at number one, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
Yeah.
The Gazette Review top 10 all-time songs. So there's one top 10 list for you, folks. Yeah. I got another one for you.
Before you go into that one, I just wanted to mention something that we actually talked about yesterday that, obviously didn't make it to air. We were talking about the new NASA rover, and you weren't sure if it had launched or not, and that's actually an article I'm looking at here from Thursday. NASA launches new rover Perseverance to look for ancient life on the red planet. Ancient life. What are they going to find? I don't have the hair, but aliens. Yeah, they launched their new rover, a car-sized robotic explorer named Perseverance, to Mars on an ambitious mission to scour the planet for evidence of ancient life. Which is not surprising, because they have found evidence of there once having been water on Mars, so it's not surprising to look for ancient life. And then, of course, there's always the conspiracy theory to consider that we actually come from Mars, and the moon was the space shuttle we came in. Yes, I've heard that. That is a bona fide conspiracy theory. Nice. There are people who believe that. So, yeah, you were mentioning that it's a helicopter, and that's one thing that's mentioned here. It says, for the first time ever, we're going to fly a helicopter on another planet.
Yeah.
Adding that future missions to other worlds could use similar helicopters as airborne scouts. The Perseverance rover launched aboard an Atlas V rocket from Cape Canaveral in Florida. Typically, crowds gather along beaches near Cape Canaveral to witness the launches, but because of the coronavirus, the agency encouraged space fans to stay home and participate virtually. Instead, particularly as new infections continue to surge in Florida and across the country. Matt Wallace, the mission's deputy project manager at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, said the rover has already lived up to its name as engineers persevered through the pandemic to ready the spacecraft for its much-anticipated launch. But yeah, it's up there. It's on its way to Mars now.
Space helicopters. What do they come up with?
2 days into its journey now.
Yeehaw! All right. Top 10.
Of course, it'll only work on Mars. Well, on a planet anyway that has a bit of an atmosphere, because as a helicopter, it needs air to provide lift. And you're not going to get that in the void of space.
No. All right, I got another top 10 list for you. The top 10 grossing movies of all time.
By the way, that top 10 music list, was that based on gross sales or perceived popularity?
This was just an opinion piece from the Gazette. Okay.
Then I stand by my statement that he didn't know what he was talking about when he didn't include Elvis in there.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of them in there that I would have put something else in for sure.
Yeah.
It wasn't
now,
if
it was based on top grossing sales, then obviously I can't dispute the numbers. But when it's an opinion piece, yeah, I can dispute that.
Well, then being the true autist that you are, you will appreciate this top 10 list because it is strictly by the book, by the numbers. These are the top 10 grossing movies in dollar amounts of all time. And what's funny is, you know, you and I, if we were to rattle off what we consider, you know, the all-time classics, I don't think too many of them would make this list.
Yeah.
This kind of shows really the garbage taste of the general public, in my opinion. But we'll see what you think after you see this list. And most of these movies are just from the last decade, because
I'll probably agree.
Yeah, the value of the dollar and whatnot, and how the worldwide market's being tapped into now. Whereas it might not have been as much in previous decades.
Yeah.
But here we go. Top 10 grossing movies all time. You'll be surprised to know that none of the Harry Potter movies, none of the traditional franchises you would think of are on this list, strangely enough. So, yeah. Again, you'll see when I read off these. Coming in at number 10... This movie came out in 2018. It grossed $1.4 billion. The movie is Black Panther.
Hmm. See, already I can see that one thing they're not taking into account is the difference in the value of a dollar between now and, say, 50 years ago.
Exactly.
Because, you know, there might have been something, even in the 70s, even looking at Star Wars, if you were to compare the dollar value, Star Wars might have beat that.
Or if Jaws. If you
compare the dollar value.
Yeah, or Jaws, or any of those Close Encounters of the Third Kind, those kind of...
Are these top tens from BuzzFeed or something?
No, this was this was just a random Google dive.
Oh, okay.
So, well, leave it at that. Number 9... The Avengers Age of Ultron 2015, directed by Joss Whedon. It grossed $1.5 billion. So the Avengers series jumps into the top 10.
Firefly, directed by Joss Whedon, could have grossed a lot more than that if it had been allowed to, god damn it.
Yeah, and I could be mistaken.
Still too soon, always too soon.
And I could be wrong, but wasn't he also behind that TV series Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yes, he was.
Okay. So he's done some things here. Coming in at number 8, I hate this series. This is another one of the movies in this series that I think is fucking garbage. But to each their own. To each their own. Fast and the Furious 7.
Oh, God, yeah, I hate that series, too.
And like, not like 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Part 7. Fast and the Furious 7, director James Wan, $1.6 billion. Fucking garbage.
Yeah.
You people that are watching this, you're fucking garbage. Anyway.
But, again, as you continue to progress through this list, you are proving... what I just said, that they're not taking into account the difference in dollar valuations.
No, because these are all recent movies.
Yeah,
like there's... So here, let's get right into it. Number 7.
You know what they should be going by is the number of tickets sold.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the dollar value of them, but the number of tickets sold.
Or the box office share of that period.
Yeah, the percentage or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, and here we go again. Number 7. Frickin' Marvel. Marvel's The Avengers, directed by Joss Whedon. So here's these comic book movies, eh? And
wait
the Marvel.
A minute. Didn't you already do number 7? I thought that was.
That was Avengers.
You went, Black Panther was number 10, Avengers Age of Ultron, and then Fast and Furious 7. So now you're on number 6.
10, 9, 8, 7. Black Panther's
10.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, never mind. So 10 minus 3, you know, but yeah.
Marvel's The Avengers, Joss Whedon. Fuck.
I missed number seven somehow. That's what threw me off. I don't know.
Number six, Jurassic World. 2015, $1.8 billion. Yeah, I saw the original Jurassic, but, you know, all these sequels since, like...
Yeah. You know, one thing that this list is not going to help with is my attempt to keep vomit off of my foam windscreen.
Oh, it's horrible. This is what I mean. I thought you would be triggered when you hear that. Like, these movies are fucking garbage. I'm telling you right now.
I'm offended.
There might be a couple of passables, but there's no fucking smashes here.
Wait, let's see if I can do that offended chick.
All right, well, now we're in the top five. Number five, you're not going to believe this. Another Marvel Avenger. 2018's Marvel Avengers Infinity War, $2 billion.
I love the Marvel movies, but at the risk of repeating myself again, they're not taking into consideration the dollar valuation.
No, it's just... And again, I just think people just have garbage.
Those aren't the top 10 grossing movies of all time, not when you take that factor into consideration.
Yeah, they're just going by the sheer dollar amounts and not the relative worth.
Yeah, some Elvis movie back in the 50s grossed $2 million, so it doesn't count. But what was $2 million compared to today's money?
Exactly. You know? That's why I say, like, a franchise.
In today's money, that might have been a few hundred million dollars. And Elvis's movies were crappy. Even he hated them.
But think of a movie like Jaws or The Exorcist.
Exactly.
Like
back in the day. Yeah.
All right. Or The Godfather, for that matter.
Yep.
Okay, number four. J.J. Abrams' Star Wars The Force Awakens, 2015. Whoa. It raked in $2 billion. Yep. The Force Awakens. Number three. Yeah. Now this one, this movie, every time I hear about this movie, all I can think of is that fucking, she's such a... as far as Canadian representatives go, I can't hate a Canadian more than, well, I hate Trudeau, but more than...
Yeah, Trudeau, but that doesn't count because he's a Cuban.
But almost as much as I hate Trudeau, I hate this chick, Celine Dion. Ugh. Yeah, and that fucking song, you know, like...
Yeah, she is not a representative of Canada, man.
And, of course, her hit song, which was off the movie Titanic, coming in at number three... 1997, James Cameron directed Titanic, pulled in $2.1 billion. Out of this whole list, it's probably the most most adequate movie. At least it was historical somewhat.
And at least it's from 1997, which, is a different dollar value even just 20 years ago. So even that shows how it stood up.
Yeah, and at least, and again, there was some, it was based on a real story, so. Yeah,
and it was a pretty epic movie. I mean, I liked that movie. I won't deny that. Same thing with James Cameron's Avatar.
Coming in at number two.
James Cameron's Avatar.
No. But you are getting ahead of me. Coming in at number two. Yeah, another fucking Avengers movie. Avengers End 2019, Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
$2.5 billion. And that one had like all the, Robert Downey was in there as Iron Man. There's all the characters. Yeah, that was a big one. But that fucking garbage series.
Yeah.
And you already guessed number one, Avatar. Coming in at number one, $2.8 billion, and another movie directed by James Cameron.
Yeah.
The very prolific James Cameron. So there's your top 10 all-time money-making movies, your top grossing movies of all time.
Yeah, well, based on current dollar value only.
Yeah. So are you before we get into the would you rather, just a quick update, swing back to the serious for a moment. I went on, people think I just make this shit up about COVID. I went on the website, COVID-19. So I got both the Canadian statistics and the world statistics as of the last 24 hours. So Canada was sitting at 116,000 confirmed cases, 9,000 dead, and those were rounded up slightly.
And those are the totals from this whole time, not current numbers.
And the death rate, 0.07, so not even 1%.
Yeah.
Worldwide, 17 million cases confirmed. Again, take into account, folks, these are confirmed cases. There's so many out there unconfirmed.
Yeah.
So if the percentage in Canada is less than 1% just based on the confirmed, figure it out if you add in the unconfirmed. If you knew how many. Worldwide, 17,700,000 deaths. I did the math, 0.04. So not even half.
That's a 99.6% survival rate.
And we've shut down our world and been forced into mandatory masks, quarantine, lockdowns, all this panic and paranoia over something that is no worse than the common flu, essentially, according to the statistics. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm just going by what they put on their website. So, YouTube,
don't deny it. I'm not a doctor, honey, but take off your clothes and I'll pretend.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm telling you, I got these numbers off the website, the WHO, so sue them. Don't sue me. Like, I'm just the messenger.
Yeah.
I don't profess to be an expert, but it just gives me pause when it comes to this mask bullshit, and makes me wonder what's really the agenda here. Microchipping, vaccines, fucking surveillance state.
Yeah.
All of the above. Wake up, sheep. Wake up.
Bah.
What was that? Remember that line in Blade Runner when the one cyborg there, the big guy, he gets a hold of Harrison Ford. He's got him up by the throat and he says, "Wake up, Decker. Time to die." he's about to kill him there. Anyway. I don't know what to tell you, folks. The numbers are there. But if you want to shit the bed and panic over something with an over 99% survival rate, that's on you. I'm going to live my life.
Yeah, no kidding.
So on that note, let's play a game of Would You Rather.
All righty.
I've got 5 questions today.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure... if I had enough, material to work with after what happened yesterday. So
yeah.
I had to make sure we got in our usual amount of time. So
yeah, well, we're coming up 3 minutes shy of an hour right now, so we're doing good.
Oh, okay. So this will work out perfect.
Yeah.
To our first-time viewers and listeners, we play this game, Would You Rather? I think everybody's heard of it. I asked Destry a series of questions, each one with 2 options, and there's no right or wrong answers. It's just looking into the mindset of the individual you're asking the question of, and these are all open to debate. And so far, we've been trending pretty much 100% lately of having the same answers.
Yeah.
So go figure. Okay, question number 1. Destry, would you rather A, have a dog with the personality of a cat, or B, a cat with the personality of a dog?
Hmm. I think I'd rather have a cat with the personality of a dog.
Smaller.
Yeah, I mean, it would basically just be like having a smaller dog.
Yeah.
You know, they listen to you. They come when called. They answer to their name. They don't just sit there and look at you with a fuck you look on their face.
Which
Shut
is
up
why,
and feed me.
Exactly. Like, why would you want a big German Shepherd or Husky or even a Lab to have a personality of a cat?
Yeah.
And the cat's like, yeah, fuck you. And, you know, you call them and they just do their own thing. And, yeah,
yeah.
You know. So that's 100% agreement on that one. We would both rather have a cat with a dog personality.
Yep.
Question number two. Destry, would you rather A, be reborn in a past time, or B, be reborn in a future time?
I think I would have to choose the future.
Interesting.
Just because, you know, the past is already there. We already know about it. There are some periods in the past that might have been fun to live in. Like, I don't know, the Wild West or something might have been fun to live in. But I'm always... I am infinitely curious about what is going to become of us in our future and how far we're going to manage to take our technological growth. So I think I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the day when we finally achieve real space travel and start getting out there.
See, you're more of a futurist in that sense, whereas me, you know, I'm kind of nostalgic for the past. So this one will differ on. I think this one, you know, there's a lot of things about the past. I love the simpler times. And I don't mean I don't want to go back to like the Wild Wild West kind of shit. But like, you know, even like back to the 70s, 80s, you know, things were modern enough to my liking, but simple enough that not dealing with the bullshit that we're dealing with of this, this particular time. So
yeah, I get you, but you're right. I'm more of a futurist and
yes.
I like the technology that we have today, and I'd like to see that taken even further. I'd
so
like
there you
to see
go.
Where we can go with that.
So there's your answer for number two.
And of course, that's a, I guess, a bit of a utopic hope for the future is that we won't take our technology in the wrong direction.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, and then like I'm, you know, I kind of long for the days of, you know, the way music was in the 70s and 80s. I long for the day, like, I, you know, in a lot of ways, it was simpler when we didn't have the cell phones and the computers, and we had to actually, you know, you had the phone with the cord in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You had to, like, if you wanted any privacy, you had to go in the other room with the long cord.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, and the only way anyone could get a hold of you was to call you at home. Because if they called and you weren't at home, you were fucked because you'd have to go out and track them down.
Yep.
And then you'd have to know where the hangouts were. And that was that was part of the adventure back then, too. Oh,
yeah.
he's not at McDonald's. Let's try Robin's Donuts. Or maybe he's at the pool hall. Or
and
I
remember always having a dime in my pocket for the payphone.
Yeah, payphone, yeah.
Yeah.
And then just the, you know, the prices of everything and, you know, just there's some, and then even just to take back past mistakes, if I knew I could do it all over again and go back. So yeah, that's where I'm, but I totally understand your logic and wanting to see where things are in the future and the technology. And so, yeah. Number three, Destry, would you rather never be able to eat candy at Halloween or never be able to eat turkey at Thanksgiving?
Oh, that's easy. I almost never eat candy anyway.
Oh, so, there you go.
Yeah. I would rather never be able to eat candy again.
And you know,
turkey's a great source of protein.
And even though we disagreed on number two.
And I love dark meat. Turkey.
Anyway, So even though we went off the rails on number two, I have to bring it back to at least the 99 percentile. I agree with you. I love my turkey dinners.
Yeah.
I love, you know, I'm a meat and potatoes guy, and I've never been much for sweets. So, yeah, I definitely would go for that. To me, that candy, it's always been like, when you're grown up, you shouldn't be eating candy. That's a little kid's kind of,
yeah,
you know, sinful treat for the youngsters kind of thing. But yeah, as a grown ass man, why are you eating candy? Like, what the fuck?
You got to watch your health. You got to watch your sugars, stuff like that. And I used to, I used to have a humongous sweet tooth. I used to be horrible with the sweets, but just in the last year or so, I've really cut back on it so much that I don't miss it, and I could easily do without it. Yeah, so, that one's easy.
You know, and we're both in the over 40 club approaching the half century.
Yeah.
And either of us can afford to be like
diabetic. You know,
because that's the end there.
Yeah.
So good. So we're back on track there. Number four, Destry, would you rather A, lose the ability to tell a lie, or B, be forced to believe everything you're told?
I think that one's pretty easy, too. I'm not much of a liar, so I'd rather lose the ability to lie.
Interesting. But let me play devil's advocate. So just imagine that you're compelled to believe everything you're told, and given the state of the fake news media, the lies...
That's exactly why I don't want that side of it.
All right. Well, yeah, maybe I'll agree with you on that. That brings us to our fifth and final. This one might be a little more... If you have a weak stomach or squeamish, you folks may want to step out. But Destry, number five, would you rather A, eat shit that tastes like chocolate, or B, eat chocolate that tastes like shit?
Gun to my head, I guess I'd have to go with the shit that tastes like chocolate. Because I'd be vomiting constantly if I was eating anything that tasted like shit.
Oh, the gag reflex? Oh. Yeah. Oh. Yeah,
obviously, I would rather go with neither, but gun to my head, I'll go with the shit that tastes like chocolate.
Oh, honestly, when I thought of that one, I thought, yeah, this is just horrible enough that there really isn't the right answer to it.
Yeah. And that's the way would you rather is actually supposed to be. It's supposed to be that both choices are awful, which is the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is most of your questions are, they do go that way anyway. I'm not critiquing your questioning ability here.
Well, and again, a lot of times, you know, I'm just winging it off the cuff in the middle of the night when I'm making one of my many trips to the washroom to go pee. So,
like the old man that you are.
Like the old man that I am with my... It's funny, during the day, I'm perfectly fine, but for some reason at night, the old bladder is just not what it used to be, so... Yeah. Whatever. I got a quick one for you. Let's finish off with... I got another top 10 list, but it'll be right quick. I got this off... we've been talking about, you know, the top 10s, songs and movies. And
yeah,
we talked about the top 10 grossing films. How about the top 10 richest people, according to Newsweek magazine?
Oh, yeah.
Number 10, Rob Walton, part of the... Walton family, Walmart, over $50 billion. He's the oldest of the brothers. He's retired, but he still comes in at $50 billion. Hmm. In fact, 10, 9, and 8 are all Walton family members, so go figure.
Yeah.
Frick, the evil empire of Walmart. So you have his sister, Alice, $50 billion as well. And the youngest brother, Jim Walton, who's still working high up in the company, $55 billion. He's the youngest son of Sam Walton. So there's your 10-9-8. So Walmart rules the top 10-9-8 positions. Yeah. Get that out of the way. The next couple were ones I hadn't really heard of before, but, you know, whatever. Number seven, Amancio Ortega, $60 billion. Apparently, he is the CEO of Inditex and Zara brand. Not sure what that's all about. But,
yeah, never heard of it.
Yeah, you know, Inditex, INDITEX, and Zara brand, ZARA.
Zed, you fucking Zed's false hurt. Canadian.
Yeah, sorry. Been watching too much American TV.
Yeah. It's okay. I do it too.
Number six. Here we go. You know, we talked about tech companies and you know, and how profitable they become. Larry Ellison, CEO of Oracle Software.
Yeah.
$60 billion. Oracle Software.
Yeah.
Coming in at number five, Warren Buffett. Good old Warren Buffett, $70 billion. He's trying to give away his fortune, and he's still up there in the top five. You know, he's, man, that guy made a lot of money.
And Bill Gates coming is still number, up there, too. I know Bill Gates is on your list, I'm sure.
Coming in at number four, Bernard Arnault. He's the man behind Louis Vuitton.
Oh, yes. Thought I recognized the name.
Louis Vuitton, Sephora, or Sephora, whatever. $75 billion. Unreal. Now we get into the big three.
Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and I don't know.
Got two out of the three, that's for sure. Okay. Coming in at number three, the man you didn't get, Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh. $80
billion. $80
billion. I didn't realize Zuckerberg was up there that high.
Yeah, unreal. Number two.
The Android, you mean.
Yeah, the Android. And the way he looked at those congressional hearings looked like that microchip was malfunctioning.
Yeah.
He was kind of like in zombie land.
Now, let me guess. Let me guess the order here. I'm going to say that number two is Bill Gates and number one is Jeff Bezos.
You know your shit, man. Bill Gates, number two, $100 billion.
Wow, he's really gone up, eh? I remember when he was only worth $30
billion. Yeah, $100 billion. Well, you know, it's all that that vaccine and eugenics money there, yeah. Right? coming in at number one, the man behind Amazon. And what's amazing is he's this wealthy and he gave $60 billion in a divorce to his ex-wife.
Holy shit.
Yeah, but she wound up not making the list because she donated a portion of that money to a bunch of leftist charities that she's into. She's still
You know, if making the list is important to you, your priorities are all wrong, so good for her.
Yeah, so good for her in a way, I guess. But yeah, Bezos, the man behind Amazon, $113 billion. And that is the final top 10 list of the episode. And what'd you think?
Oh, that was a pretty good list, and it did go by pretty quick.
Yeah. No room to debate that. I mean, yeah, most of those on there are no-brainers.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, considering we had to reshoot this episode completely off the cuff, pretty much, I think we did pretty good. We got ourselves an hour and 12 minutes here, so I guess it's time to cut her off, and we'll see y'all next week.
Oh, wait.
Oh, what?
Just wait, I gotta do something here, because I didn't get to do it last time.
Oh, okay.
If my mouse will ever work. Let me just see.
Alrighty.
All right.
And on that note, folks, we'll see you next week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.